Hey everyone, welcome back to Count Me In. I'm your host Adam Larson, and I'm excited to bring you episode 88 of our series. Our expert guest for today's conversation is Karen Bagstrom. Karen is a founder and CFO of StarzPlay, the leading subscription video on-demand service that streams to over 20 countries across Asia, Middle East, and North Africa. In this episode, my co-host Ruba talks with Karen about how the COVID-19 pandemic has actually accelerated her business. During their conversation, Karen uncovers how StarzPlay is harnessing the power of technology to optimize the finance function and leveraging data analytics to enhance future growth, even despite the current challenges. Keep listening how amid digital disruption, recessions, and pandemics, finance and accounting professionals remain ahead of the curve.
So good morning, Karen, and thank you so much for joining us today.
Good morning, Ruba. Thank you for having me.
I'm actually looking forward to hearing from you. StarzPlay has been a really beautiful example of organic growth out of the Middle East region. So kudos to you guys.
Thank you. Yeah, we're excited as well, even though the whole COVID epidemic is, of course, nothing that we would like to have.
Yes, of course. So I want to dive right into it. As somebody who works in finance and accounting, and you're the CFO of StarzPlay, has digital transformation of finance impacted the roles and responsibilities of today's CFO? And what are the skills needed to maneuver during such trying times, like you just mentioned now, in your opinion?
Sure. I think in general, moving to digital environment has changed and impacted many roles in businesses around the world. Not just finance roles, of course. However, I do think that in finance, the CFO and the finance department has a little bit stepped out of just being the accounting and reporting team from, looking Absolutely. At the actuals, just comparing things to budget. Moving into this digital environment has allowed this team to become more part of the business, more an integral part of the business, I would say. Mm-hmm. Because back in the old days, the finance department was always the one that was just looking at, this is what happened, we'll book it in the balance sheet and the P&L, and then we compare it to the budget, and then you send off a report. But now I think there's so much more involvement between the finance team and all the other teams. And going digital, of course, is a big part of this, because when you move into the digital world, you all of a sudden need to use different systems. And I also think that the finance team has become more analytical in their way that they work. You need to be able to analyze what comes in and not just take, the costs as they are and just look at them and say, okay, that's it. That you're challenging the rest of the business. That you're, questioning the other departments in the business and saying, yeah, but is that really so? Or can we change anything? Or why is that so? So I think that the finance team has become much more analytical in the way that we work, and going digital is a big part of that. I was going to say, for us at StarzPlay, we are 100% digital. We work in the digital space. Mm-hmm. Our product is in the digital space.
It is digital, exactly.
So everything is digital. So for us, it's natural. And we have a lot of data around us all the time. All the subscriber data, anything that touches our service, we have data on it. Mm. So, I think from our point of view, we haven't gone digital as such. We always work. That's in our DNA. It's how we started this business. I see that my team, if I compare, when I started in finance way, way, way back when, now it's way more analytic. And the finance team is challenging the rest of the business much more. And that is a big difference.
Yeah, and you mentioned the breaking down of silos and the interconnectedness of it all, with finance teams becoming more involved in other departments. And I'm sure that includes the likes of marketing and product development, what have you. And do you find that the lines between CFO and CIO, for example, are also blurred? And then what role does digital transformation play at Stars Play? I mean, I'd be curious to know how that's working, since you mentioned it's a digital product by default and in your current business model, especially, you know, within the finance team spectrum.
Yeah, I mean, for a lot of companies, I do think that you will see a blurred line between the CFO and the CIO. Especially in companies where you cannot afford to have a big C-suite, where it does not make sense. You might have a CEO and a CFO and that's it. So you cannot have, you know, add on more C-level people. So I definitely think that, and it makes sense from a certain perspective to do that. For us at Stars Play, we haven't really that structure, because we're such an, you know, digitalized company. We have the CFO and the finance team, and we manage everything that has to do with finance and analytics and so on. And then we have a very big tech team and development team. And under that tech and development team, we have data analysts. We have a big data analyst team that is also working on AI. So that kind of sits for us in our company. It sits under the tech team. But I'm definitely sure that in other companies, the blending of the CFO and the CIO does make sense, for sure. And then on your second question on how, you know, the digital transformation, how has this impacted us at Stars Play and at the business model that we have? As I said earlier on, because we're a company within the digital space, we haven't really transformed as such, you know, from something being brick and mortar
transformed.
But what is happening is that we are evolving all the time. So we are, we see that we need new tools to analyze certain type of data. We see that we want to go more granular into things, into information that we have, be it, you know, just a simple, we get a supplier invoice and we want to be able to challenge what is that, you know, that data that is on that invoice, and we can go more and more granular. So I think we didn't go from brick and mortar to become digitalized, but we are digitalized, but we're becoming more and more sophisticated.
But I think such a model as yours was actually born as a result of digital disruption.
Yes, for sure.
A disruptor.
It was.
You're a disruptor. A good
disruptor. We're happy to be that. We're happy to be that.
A good one. So successful leaders around the world pride themselves on being lifetime learners. And they say that this is the secret for ongoing success, you know, especially in this era where there's new ways of doing things every day. What is your view on the need for continuous upskilling and reskilling and obviously well-being a lifetime learner, you know, and not just for you, for also your team? And how do you apply that as well?
Yeah, I mean, I can only agree with that statement that, you know, you need to continue to learn as long as you live. You can't just at one day sit down and say, I know everything. I think you need to be very humble towards what you don't know. And it doesn't, it doesn't matter where you are in life or what position you have. There's always so much more to learn. And the thing that I find fascinating is when you learn from the younger people. For example, in our company, we have, you know, the marketing team, and the team that is running the social marketing. They're a group of fairly young people, and they know exactly which apps is the app of the week, or, you know, what are the trends right now going on, you know, all the different apps. And they mention apps and things, and I'm like, I have no idea what you're talking about, but I'm learning. And you know, it's a good thing. So you also need to be able to, you know, just sit down and listen to the young people, because they have a lot to learn you as well, to teach you. But no, for sure. I mean, learning is important. And I think the thing that you also need to, you know, be comfortable with is that learning isn't just sitting in the school bench and getting a grade. you know, doing a long course or so. It can just be as simple as, you know, reading articles, reading blogs, watching lectures on YouTube, or, you know, any type of means is learning, but you need to continue to challenge yourself and, you know, I don't know that. I need to explore that venue. And then you, you know, go and search information on it. I think, and then also when you, you know, you know, ask how do we work as a team? I mean, that's something that I encourage my team to do. You know, find information or find something. If you don't know anything, go out and look for it. If there is a course in something, then, you know, we'll figure that out. But very often, you know, you can just go out and find the information yourself. And then when you get stuck, then we get help.
At least knowing your strengths and your weaknesses gets you, you know, halfway there. I know it's a very good view, and especially keeping an open mind, I think.
Yes.
As you said, you can find that learning anywhere. It doesn't.
Yes.
Yeah, correct. COVID-19 is, you know, the disruptor of the disruptors, the mega disruptor, and has disrupted so many different industries. But in some cases, it's also accelerated them. So, I mean, we've looked at figures in the Middle East region and the Gulf, specifically UAE. There were some companies that reported up to 800% growth during the pandemic. And StarsPlay was one of those that reported an increase in the number of paid subscribers. How significant was that growth? And was your platform actually ready to handle such an increase in numbers of subscribers and transactions?
Yeah, so I mean, we were one of the fortunate companies during this pandemic time that actually has benefited to some extent. And we did see a very big growth, especially here in the MENA region during lockdown. Mm-hmm. So during Q2, when at least for 2 months, we saw everyone was under lockdown. We saw a huge increase in the number of new subscribers, but also even what we actually pride ourselves more in the consumption, how much people were actually watching. Mm-hmm. So that's a measuring tool that we use, and how much content, how many minutes our viewers are actually watching on our service. Mm-hmm. And to give you a benchmark on how much it actually increased. So we managed in this quarter, we managed to triple the consumption. Wow. With what we've done over the last 5 years since we launched.
I mean, it's brilliant.
It is ironically brilliant. So, I mean, we were super happy with that. And to your question, you know, how did the system hold up? Because that was, you know, our concern as well, because all of a sudden you see this massive spike in people coming into your service and wanting to view content at the same time. Mm-hmm. So everyone is pressing play and wants to stream at the same time. And the platform scaled perfectly. We didn't have any outages or any issues. The way that we've built the whole technical platform that we have, which we've built mostly in-house, is that we can scale it very quickly. So the more subscribers we have, we can expand it. And then if the subscriber base decreases slightly, we can decrease it a bit. And then so we can expand and go back and forth depending on. And we see the seasonality on a weekly basis. So, you know, consumption goes up Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. Mm-hmm. And then it goes down again because then it's weekdays, people are working. We see seasonality also. Now, COVID period is exceptional, but normally.
Lawyers would be happy to hear that.
But normal years, we would see, you know, we have a higher consumption when we release certain box sets. So, for example, when we launch Vikings, the new episodes for that season, mm-hmm. we see a big spike in consumption. And then that drops down again. And then we launch another new series, it goes up again. So mm-hmm. we're very happy with how the technical platform scaled during this period.
Brilliant. And looking at other businesses, because there are obviously other businesses in the region that are experiencing similar exponential growth, and particularly those who are able to, in time, convert their business from, or migrate their business from brick and mortar to e-commerce, which is a very difficult task, obviously, to do overnight. But do you think that they have the right financial reporting systems and data analytics that would enable them to kind of deal with this increased flow of revenue? And then what advice would you have to give when it comes to having that pillar of digital elements on the financial spectrum of their business?
I definitely think that some businesses for sure struggled with the scaling up or ramping up their e-commerce or their online presence, I should say. Mm-hmm. The companies that didn't really have an online presence before COVID-19, they would probably have struggled a bit more. But the ones that did have a presence, you know, they had an online store or any type of online service, as long as their systems could scale, they would have been fine, of course. Now, reporting-wise, that's always the tricky one, because if you're not prepared for the volumes, then the reporting can always be, you know, lagging, or you actually don't capture everything. And did you bill all the customers that bought the product? Which is, of course, as a CFO, the one that you're nervous about. Did we actually bill the customer?
You wouldn't want that to be your problem, absolutely.
No, you don't want that to be the problem. I do think that potentially some businesses did struggle a bit. I hope not too many. I hope most people, you know, had their fundamentals done. And the thing is that even if you, as long as the billing is done, as long as you did charge a customer and the customer got their product or their service, whatever they bought, you can always, after the fact, figure out the reporting, even though it's a big job to go back and try and reconcile and do all that. We know how reconciling is in finance.
Exactly.
but you can always do that. But I do think that, you know, now the learning for a lot of businesses, or I would actually say most businesses that has some type of online presence, is that you need to have these fundamentals in place. Because by now, people are so used to buying everything online. We did that before COVID as well, but more so now, much more so now. And even things that you might previously not have thought about as hardware, for example, like a hardware store, you would go to the hardware store and, you know, buy your garden things and so on. But now they also need to deliver, or you need to be able to go there and pick up. There needs to be a proper online store.
Correct.
So the learning from this and the advice is, of course, that if we've come to this place now in time, you just need to get all the fundamentals in place. You need to make sure that you have a proper billing system in place. You need to know that your system can scale. It doesn't need to scale maybe to COVID measurements, but it needs to be able to manage increasing volumes. Mm-hmm. You don't need to build things in-house. There are perfect third-party services that you can get. But you want to make sure that, you know, the flow of the reporting, the flow of the payments, and the flow of if you're shipping actual products, that is actually working, and that it's tested, and that you've stress tested yourself before you put it out to market.
And especially when you know things like how data this kind of data informs your, you know, your future strategy and how you're adjusting to meet the demand. So yes, I agree. It's vital. Whatever it is, put it in place.
Definitely, for sure. And the thing is also, as you mentioned with data, I mean, the data is produced very quickly, but you also need to know how to read the data or to manage the data and analyze the data. So just having a lot of data on a server doesn't help your business.
Oh, hence another skill is born, analyzing the data.
Exactly. So you need to be able to decipher what that data is telling you. And that's a new skill set for a lot of businesses.
Hence that constant need of, you know, being the lifetime learner comes into play. It's a nonstop process. Yeah.
Yes.
But, I must say we're fortunate in a way to be in this era, because there's so much material that we have access to that enables us to, you know, perform better. That imagine like 20 years ago, how slow the processes were compared to now.
Yeah.
So amid all of this beautiful disruption, which I find really fascinating, recessions, pandemics, and all of that, how can finance and accounting professionals remain ahead of the curve and continue to add value to their organizations?
I think, you know, the finance team can add value by being proactive in what they provide to the business. Mm-hmm. So they need to, as I said earlier, the finance team has become so much more analytical than what it was years ago. And the way that we put together data and the way that we present it to the business, and the way that we then can, you know, steer the business in a direction which is positive, which is based on, of course, it's based on historical numbers. So we're not projecting as such, but we can at least say, you know, these are the trends. This is what we're seeing in the data that we're collecting. And this is how the finance team stays ahead and, you know, continues to deliver. I just think that the world has become, we're so data driven today. So pretty much any team that you have within a company needs to analyze data.
Correct.
In one way or the other. It's not just the finance team. It's the marketing team needs to analyze data in their way. The product team needs to analyze data.
Podcast listenership and
exactly
downloads. Yeah.
Yes. So we're so data driven, and I think that for any business to stay ahead, you need to be able to understand, read the data.
Can't agree more. Karen, this has been really insightful. Thank you so much for your time. Really appreciate it. And look forward to connecting with you again really soon.
All right. Brilliant. Thank you so much.
This has been Count Me In, IMA's podcast, providing you with the latest perspectives of thought leaders from the accounting and finance profession. If you like what you heard and you'd like to be counted in for more relevant accounting and finance education, visit IMA's website at www.imanet.org.